Ordinary Vegan is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get special life insurance rates. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, and vegans. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ordinaryvegan or mention the promo code ordinaryvegan when you talk to a Health IQ agent.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to podcast number 32. Today, we're going to discuss menopause symptoms and the optimal menopause diet to treat those symptoms. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the planet, and for animal welfare. Speaking of animals, I ran across a blog I wrote on ordinaryvegan.net many years ago that I wanted to share with you today, because I think it can really cause us to think about our relationship with animals and the evolutionary history of why we eat animals. As some of you know, I am a big fan of Dr. Joseph Campbell. Dr. Campbell was a highly regarded American mythologist, writer, and lecturer. Dr. Campbell's usage of the word myth does not denote falsehood, rather a traditional story of the early history of human beings which helps explain natural or social phenomena. One of his lectures talks about our evolution from hunters to our current food chain. Here is what Dr. Joseph Campbell had to say about eating life to live. The human eye opens at a rather late stage in the development of the individual. He has already done the most marvelous work he will ever do. In a mysterious way, in his mother's womb, he has built a human body, and this body has organs that are directed to certain ends and intentions. These were not organs designed by reason or designed by consciousness. Reason and consciousness comes to itself to ask later, what is it I am here for? Why do I do this and that? Furthermore, the coming of the eyes into the general biological picture is very late. Life has already originated hundreds of millions of years before eyes opened and saw what was going on and saw what life was doing now. You see and think what life does, what life has to do in order to be life. It has to kill and eat another life. That is a basic thing. He goes on to say, this is a rather monstrous thing. And when the eyes see what the situation is, which its own life depends, its own existence depends, when conscious and consciousness become aware of the preconditions of their own existence, there is often a sense of shock and a sense of horror. Joseph Campbell also talks a lot about the mythology of the hunter and the hunted. Campbell says, in life there are hunters and the hunted, and we are lucky enough to be on the top of the food chain. So what I have to say about all this is, in ancient times, people did not have the same food options we have today. Their meat did not come cleaned and packaged from a grocery store. They had to hunt it, kill it, butcher it, and eat it. Even with that said, primitive people typically saw the animals as being their equals and often their superiors. Animals were seen as father figures and spirit guides. They saw hunting as a kind of covenant between the animal world and the human world. They respected the sacrifice of the animal. The hunters of the past faced plainly what they were doing, and they didn't hide from the facts. This is in direct opposition to the way we eat today. When we put animal products on our kitchen table, we turn a blind eye to how inhumanely animals are being slaughtered for the food on our table. And every piece of animal protein we eat supports a greedy industry that makes money out of the suffering of innocent animals, not to mention the environmental hazards your children will have to face in their lifetime because of this greed. And what if a child was born and never raised to believe that his survival didn't depend on eating another life? I will end this conversation with a quote from one of the greatest authors and philosophers of all time, vegetarian Leo Tolstoy. He said, "A man can live and be healthy without killing animals for food. Therefore, if he eats meat, he participates in taking animal life merely for the sake of his appetite." Food for thought. Today, I want to talk about menopause. I know this is a female-centric subject, and I don't mean to leave the men out of this week's podcast, but I think it is one of the most challenging times in a woman's life. And one of our community members reached out to me because she was having a hard time with menopause. And she asked me if I had any food advice during menopause. Of course, that got me thinking and researching, and I gave her my advice. A week or so later, she reached out again and told me she was already feeling better. So today, I thought I would devote this podcast to menopause symptoms and natural treatments, and how becoming plant-based can make menopause much easier. So let's get it out there. Menopause is a natural period in the life of every woman. I know it took me by surprise because nobody made me aware of how difficult it can be, so I just pushed through it. But I can remember moments like being in a business meeting and water just pouring down my face from excessive sweating. And that was just one of the many symptoms. On average, menopause starts after 45 years. Menopause is defined as the point in time when menstrual cycles permanently cease due to the natural depletion of ovarian cells from aging. The average age for onset of menopause is 51. The beginning stages of declining ovary function can start years before in some women. There is also something called perimenopause, which refers to the period of time right before menopause begins. During perimenopause, your body might be beginning the transition into menopause, and that simply means that hormone production from your ovaries is beginning to decline. You may begin to experience some symptoms commonly associated with menopause, like hot flashes. Also, your menstrual cycle might become irregular, but it won't cease during the perimenopause stage. These symptoms are the result of decreased production of estrogen and progesterone in your ovaries. Menopause and perimenopause can cause weight gain, inflammation, and increase your risk for certain conditions like osteoporosis. Also, symptoms of menopause vary from one woman to another, and the age and the rate of decline of ovary function differ tremendously from woman to woman. So always remember, every woman's body is different. And just because a friend begins menopause at 48, you may not begin until you're 55. and everyone's symptoms can be different. But take heart. There are dietary steps and lifestyle changes that can make menopause so much more manageable. Let's start with the symptoms of menopause. One of the least favorite symptoms are hot flashes. A hot flash is a quick feeling of heat and can sometimes cause a red, flushed face and sweating. Hot flashes are experienced by 75% of women over the age of 50 in the United States. A fascinating study was done by the University of California, who interviewed Mayan women about their experiences of menopause. These women lived in the southeastern part of Yucatan, Mexico. Menopause occurred earlier there, at an average age of 42. But, unlike American women, hot flashes were totally unknown among the Mayan women, and they don't even have a word for hot flashes because they simply did not occur. That had the researchers scratching their heads. Why wouldn't the Mayan women experience hot flashes during menopause? The biggest difference between the Mayan women and American women was diet. American women, on average, consume an American Western diet that includes saturated fat from meat, cheese, and eggs. The Mayan women diet consists of corn tortillas, beans, tomatoes, squash, sweet potatoes, and other vegetables with very little meat. And the biggest surprise, they don't consume dairy products. Once again, no hot flashes and no dairy products. So that was the defining moment for that study. I can't emphasize this enough. Dairy is, hands down, the single worst food you can consume. Even small amounts of dairy can wreak havoc with your body. I know I spoke about this at length in podcast number 20, The Frightening Facts About Cow's Milk, but it is worth mentioning again and again. Studies show that women who consumed 3 or more glasses of cow's milk per day had a 93% increased risk of death and 60% increased risk of developing a hip fracture. Now, I know what you're saying. I don't drink 3 glasses of cow's milk a day, and I only eat a little cheese. Well, a small piece of cheese is an abundance of cow's milk that has been condensed into a small piece of cheese. So you are drinking 3 glasses of cow's milk a day if you're eating cheese. Honestly, it is that simple. Please listen to one of my most popular podcasts, podcast number 23 with Dr. Neil Bernard, called The Cheese Trap. He breaks it down in a really understandable way. And always remember, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, author and scientist of the China study, called casein, which is the number one protein in cow's milk, the most relevant cancer promoter ever discovered based on his studies. No dairy is good for you. And I don't believe it is a coincidence that menopausal Mayan women don't consume dairy and don't experience and don't even know what hot flashes are. If you are now experiencing hot flashes, my advice to you is to quit all dairy, not even a small amount of cheese. Don't worry, you can do it. I don't miss cheese at all, and it can be life-changing because hot flashes are one of the worst symptoms of menopause. The next symptom of menopause can be mood swings, anxiety, irritability, and even depression. Some women have difficulty with memory and concentration. Not everyone, but some. This is caused by hormonal fluctuations. Additionally, it appears that fluctuations in hormones throughout the body prompt changes in brain chemicals. We spoke about those in my podcast about CBD oil. They are called neurotransmitter receptors, and they regulate dopamine, serotonin, and endorphin. A lower than normal concentration of these chemical substances can cause anxiety, depression, and mood swings. One of the main reasons for these symptoms is a decline in the female hormone estrogen during menopause. There is a compound in plants called phytoestrogen. The intake of this particular compound boosts the estrogen level in the body. According to a study published in the Journal of Menopause, there was a striking difference in women who had a diet rich in phytoestrogens and those who followed a traditional diet of cow's milk, eggs, and meat. The study concluded that phytoestrogen helped in toning down hot flashes, mood swings, and vaginal dryness in women. Another study was conducted by the Bowman Gray School of Medicine, and they also found a significant reduction in menopausal symptoms when women supplemented their diet with fermented soy, which is rich in phytoestrogens. So my advice to Janet, who reached out to me, and to all of you women in the beginning or in the throes of menopause, is to immediately add 2 tablespoons of ground flax seeds to your diet every day, since it is one of the richest sources of phytoestrogen. There was a study done on Japanese women in menopause symptoms because Japanese women also had a very low incidence of hot flashes. Their secret? The Japanese women ate a large amount of soy products loaded with phytoestrogen. So I would recommend adding tofu to your diet on a regular basis. You could also add fermented tofu to your diet. You can buy it online or in many mainstream grocery stores. You can use it in soups, stir fries, or noodle dishes. Just watch out for the ingredients and make sure it doesn't contain anything more than tofu, salt, water, and it may possibly contain a small amount of sesame oil. I personally love tofu and prepare it all the time. And today, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite fun ways to prepare tofu. But before we go into Ordinary Vegan's Kitchen, I want to take a minute to thank my sponsor. So many people reach out to me about sponsoring, but many of those people want me to advertise products that don't fit our healthy lifestyle here on Ordinary Vegan. So when Health IQ reached out to me, I did some research and thought this could be a good fit for people with a healthy lifestyle looking for life insurance. Here is what they do. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, and vegans. They are trusted by some of America's top athletic organizations, including the nonprofit Roadrunners Club of America, USA Triathlon, US Masters Swimming, and USA Weightlifting. And they have spent years gathering the science and the data to prove that the health conscious deserve lower rates. It's like saving money by being a good driver. Health IQ gets you lower rates on your life insurance based on your lifestyle. Their mission is to improve the health of the world by celebrating the health conscious. Health IQ is another reason to keep eating your fruits, grains, lentils, and vegetables. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ordinaryvegan or mention the promo code ordinaryvegan when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Now, please join me in Ordinary Vegan's plant-based kitchen so we can make coconut-crusted tofu that even the tofu haters will love. Let's begin by preheating the oven to 370 degrees Fahrenheit. Or you could fry these in oil, but I want to make a healthier version. If you can bake, why fry? Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. Then we make a batter with 2 tablespoons of garbanzo flour, that's the chickpea flour, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 3 tablespoons of water, and 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder. Whisk that together and place it in the refrigerator. It will be thick. If it's too thick, you can always add an additional teaspoon or two of water, but you want it on the thick side, sort of like pancake batter. Then, take a 14 to 15 ounce carton of extra firm tofu and press it with a clean kitchen towel or paper towels to remove as much water as possible. Cut that tofu into about 2-inch squares. In a medium bowl, combine 1/2 cup of panko breadcrumbs, or any breadcrumbs, I wanted to keep it gluten-free, and 3/4 cup of unsweetened or sweetened shredded coconut with 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and combine. After you combine it, lay that breadcrumb mixture on a large dinner plate. Take your batter out of the refrigerator and stir. Take the tofu and dip it in the batter. Shake it gently to remove any excess and then dredge it through the panko coconut mixture until it is coated on all sides. Place on a baking sheet. Then continue to coat each piece of tofu in the batter followed by the panko coconut mixture. Place it in the oven and cook for approximately 25 minutes or until your tofu are a light, toasty brown. That's it. Gluten-free, coconut-crusted tofu for snacking. Or put it on a salad or even on top of a soup. I will give you lots of ideas in this week's show notes on OrdinaryVegan.net. Now, let's discuss one more annoying symptom of menopause for some women. It is called vaginal dryness, and it can make intercourse uncomfortable. Vaginal dryness is also caused by decreasing levels of estrogen, because estrogen is what keeps the vagina moist. Once again, phytoestrogens are a plant-based, natural estrogen replacement that can provide a boost to women's hormones to help reduce vaginal dryness. So, besides 2 tablespoons of ground flaxseed a day, eating more soy products such as tofu, soybeans, and possibly fermented soy, phytoestrogens are also present in legumes like beans and lentils, apples, cherries, and nuts. And although they're not as high in quantity as those found in ground flaxseed and soy products, they would make a great addition to your diet during menopause. Vitamin E is also helpful for rejuvenating dry vaginal tissues. You don't need to take a supplement. Just eat vitamin E-rich foods like avocados, nuts, seeds, or nut butters to your diet every day. And this is exactly why a plant-based diet can guide you through menopause. The only place you can get phytoestrogen to help you with low levels of estrogen is with plants. In addition to a plant-based diet rich with ground flax, soy, legumes, nuts, apples, and cherries, regular aerobic exercise seems to help with menopause symptoms. Menopause can affect you on so many levels. And it is always good to remember these symptoms we talked about today are just temporary. So don't let them get you down. These diet tips combined with regular physical activity can help you reduce the symptoms of menopause. That's it. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope the information I shared offers you some relief during menopause. And I hope all the information I share helps you live a long and healthy life. Because that is my number one goal, to serve you and help you along the way. Because a healthy life is a happy life. If you found this podcast information helpful today, please share on social media and consider writing a review in iTunes. The more reviews we receive, the more visibility and higher ranking iTunes gives our podcast. Please join our healthy and supportive community on Facebook. We are over 315,000 strong and growing. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan and join our Facebook group, Ordinary Vegan. Go to ordinaryvegan.net for this week's show notes, recipes, and links. If you have any questions for Ordinary Vegan, meaning me, email me at nancy@ordinaryvegan.net. I am always here for you. Thanks so much for joining me today. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.